Scripture reading for this morning will be Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Mark 8, 22 through 26. And they came to Bethesda, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village."
Good to see everyone. Good morning.
Good
morning to everyone. Glad that we have this opportunity to assemble here. Worship God in spirit and in truth. As always, Roy, a spirit of Bible study. Trust your class is good this morning. I'm going to begin this morning by mentioning my friend that I brought up last week, Alan. And I chided him about his lack of being consistent in his judgment calls. I just want to put it out there that we have chided each other for almost 35 years for our inconsistent views in matters of judgment, both privately as well as publicly. And I just want you to know that he knows that, and I know that. If he was sitting right there, I'd do it again. The place that I have in the pulpit, and I take my job very seriously, it's not a place for personal attack. That wasn't a personal attack, as some of you may have thought that. I got that back a little bit, but I know that. He knows that. But you didn't know that, so as a public speaker, that was my fault for not informing you of that. So, at the outset, while we're on that subject, and as the new year begins, if somebody says that Jeff Gordon is a member of the Church of Christ, and he believes that this is the true church of the New Testament, and that he preaches and teaches that one must obey the gospel to be saved, and you're lost unless you're immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, that's nothing but a fact, and I wouldn't mind at all anybody publicly saying that about me. And so I say that because we're studying different denominations, and as things come up this year, I'll be stating facts about the different faiths and different denominations that exist among us. The reason that I stand behind the pulpit is to proclaim the truth as well as deny false doctrine and denounce false teaching. And sometimes that regard, or in that regard, you must mention those things by name, and in doing that, that's not a personal attack. Stating facts is not a personal attack. I just want to get that out there and make that clear. And as we begin this new year, you know, I can remember in high school reading a book entitled 1984. Some of you might remember that. George Orwell wrote that book. I remember thinking then, that's just so far away. And everything about that book is so futuristic, and I just couldn't ever imagine it being 1984. Well, 2017, and it's amazing to me, 2017, I've decided that time flies by whether you're having fun or not, because it just flies by. In fact, it flies by, it does fly by a lot faster. When you are having fun, I want to say Happy New Year to all of you, and as well as Happy Lord's Day to all of you. Always a privilege to stand behind the pulpit and preach. I still consider it a privilege to do that. God has blessed me to do that here. And I consider it a privilege as we are assembled here together. What I'm reminded of today is that time is really of no consequence to God. And because He is eternal. And God has designed us to be eternal. He has given us that choice that we can live with Him forever. And as while time does pass, I think all of our concerns is as when we pass from this life. That when we're standing before Him in judgment, that He'll see me through His Son's eyes, not because I'm perfect, but because I'm one of His, and that He'll allow me to live with Him forever and ever. I think that should be the prayer of all of us. It certainly is my prayer for you, and that we have a good new year. I think it's going to be a good year for all of us. And I do hope that this year fulfills everything that you have set out to do spiritually. I know that we make those resolutions, but sometimes I think we fail in examining our spiritual life and our Christian life, setting goals for our Christian life. I think that should be done. And this lesson this morning is somewhat of a challenge in reference to that. As we begin this morning's lesson, we're going to take a look at swords. And as we begin in Mark chapter 8, T. Rex read, first part of the chapter, really what it records is there's 4,000 folks there that are being fed. And he expresses that the Pharisees want, Mark expresses, they want a sign. But now the sign that they seek, of course, is going to be on their terms. They want the sign to be on their terms, and really not on the Lord's terms. But I want you to follow along with me. If you're not there at Mark chapter 8, I want you to get there. Mark chapter 8, let's begin reading verse 14. He says, "And they had forgotten to take bread, and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, Why did you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves, the 5,000, how many baskets full, broken pieces you picked up? They said to him, 12. When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? They said to him, 7. And he said, and he was saying to them, Do you not understand? You ever been so frustrated with somebody who just didn't get it? And that somebody that you're talking to about anything, and you're thinking, you know what, you ought to get that. Now, this is true a lot of times as a parent to a child. And I speak as a parent as well as a child. It's something about when we age a little bit, we all get a little bit, smarter in that area, do we not? I guess that comes with aging. But have you ever told your children something for so long, over and over again, and it just doesn't register. It just doesn't go in. It's not going to go in. And so you get frustrated, you get wore out over and over again, and you just don't get it. Don't you understand? It's not going in. And you just keep, and really the only thing that you know to do is just repeat it over again, explain it again, and say it again. Now, what I picture in this story, what I see in this story, this narrative that Jesus has here with his disciples, as he's talking about, they get in the boat, and obviously they're on the west side of the sea, really the northwest side, and they want to get away from the crowd. They want to get moving away from the crowd, get in the boat, and so they're moving away from the Pharisees. The Pharisees have gotten to it. They've gotten to him, and he wants to move away from them, all right? So that's the point of getting in the boat. So the disciples and Jesus are in the boat. Now, the disciples notice, and guess what? We're in the boat. We're all here. We're getting away from the crowd. We've only got one loaf of bread. We've just got one loaf of bread, and Jesus uses that opportunity when they say that to say, listen, you need to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herodians really here. You need to be aware of that. Matthew records something similar when he talks about the Sadducees. You need to beware of that kind of leaven is what he's saying. And he's saying you need to be aware of the influence of those groups. Those people can have an influence on you. You need to be aware of that. You're susceptible to the influences that they may have on you. That's what the Lord wants them to understand. And as you read this, what I did, it's almost funny. As you're looking at it, then the disciples, he's upset. He's upset that we just got one loaf of bread. He's mad because we just got one loaf of bread. And as they talk about that, verse 17, Jesus says, now, wait a minute, just being aware, can you imagine Jesus sitting there in the boat with the disciples and he told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. Now, you need to be aware of that leaven. And they're talking amongst themselves about what are we going to do. What are we going to do? We've just got one loaf of bread and Jesus here. Well, finally he says, wait a minute. Now think about it. And he begins speaking and he says, you know, I guess in today's language, what do we say to all that? Are you kidding me? Are you guys really serious? You think I'm talking about this? Don't you get it? And really, I said 5,000. You took out 12 baskets full of leftovers. You got done feeding 4,000. You picked up 7 large baskets of fragments. And you think this discussion in this boat is about a loaf of bread? Is that really where we're at? Verse 21, he says, and how is it that you do not understand? How is that? I don't understand why you don't understand what I'm talking about. And when you think about the disciples, and you think about their relationship with the Lord, and you think about day and night they were with Jesus for all this time, and they were with Him in the most intimate way every day, and they've been with Him, and they've seen all that He's done. They've been involved in all that He's done, and really, He just fed 9,000. And obviously, it's miraculous, and He sends them, don't you get it? I'm not concerned about love, alright? Not concerned about that. Don't you understand? Now, what I think is interesting about this is that it was not the first time that this happened, alright? And let's move to Mark 4. Come back a couple chapters. Mark chapter 4. And while we're looking at that, I want you to understand that I think Jesus expected more from His disciples because of the association that He had with them. He expected more from the disciples because of that association, and I think He expected more from them than He would expect from the common man, or the multitude, alright? Mark 4, where He's talking there, and really just had the parable of the soul, alright? And Jesus explaining that to them. Notice verse 11. And He's saying to them, verse 10, as soon as He was alone, His followers, along with the 12, began asking Him about the parable. And He was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand. Otherwise they might return and be forgiven, is what He said. Verse 13. And He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables, is the Lord's question. I want you to get this. Jesus is explaining the parable to the disciples. He's looking at it. He's explaining the point, not so much the point of the parable itself, but what the Lord explains it. I teach in parables. All right? Why? Because to them, the crowd, the multitude, the common people, it's not for them to know the mystery. But I teach them in parables. It's for you to know the mysteries. All right? That's His point. I'm talking to you. I'm teaching you so that when I leave, you're going to be able to teach, you're going to be able to record, you're going to be able to write down the things that need to be taught. But for those, I teach them in parables, the multitudes, the crowd, that's for them. That's for their understanding. They're not going to know the things that you're going to know because of our association, because of our relationship, all right? They're not going to know the things that you know. But what's going to happen to them is that going to everyday life, and they're going to understand this story, they're going to listen to the parable that I'm going to tell them, and it's going to hit them. Something's going to come up in their life, and it's going to hit them that, wait a minute, that's what Jesus was talking about. That, I understand that now. That's what the Lord's saying about crap. He said, that's why I'm talking to them in parables. It's not for them to know the mysteries, no. But it's given to you to know the mysteries. So as Jesus is doing this when the disciples are with Him, you know what He's expecting? He's expecting them to know more. Do you see it? He's expecting them to get it. He's expecting them to understand that. Then He says, do you, don't you understand? Don't you understand? This isn't about a loaf of bread. This isn't about a loaf of bread. This is about listening to all the spiritual things that I want you to understand. If I'm trying to convey and teach you, listen, I can create all kinds of loaves of bread. That's not what this is about. And so, as we think about it, I want you to now think, let's go back. Go back to Mark 8. I want you to think about this story. Now, we're going to look at it again, really for emphasis sake. Uncle T-Rex didn't do a good job reading that, but I want you to listen to it again. Conversation that was had, verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and He said, as they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored Him to touch him, taking the blind man by the hand, He brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes, laying his hands on him, some translations, He spit in his hand first, and He asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men. For I see them like trees walking around. Then again He laid His hands on His eyes, and He looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he said to him, he extended to his home, saying, do not enter the village. Well, I think it's an interesting story. I think that's an interesting story. I don't know. But off the top of my head, I can't think of another time that Jesus did a miracle that when he did the miracle, that it didn't take. Maybe there's a place that you can tell me. I really didn't dig into that much. It just hit me right there when I'm talking about it. But I don't know any other place in the New Testament where Jesus performed a miracle that apparently didn't take the first time. So I'm reading this, and as I read this, I'm thinking, what happened here? What happened here? Why didn't that happen? And as you're looking at it, the Lord had the Holy Spirit without measure, full measure, in other words, not the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit was given to the Lord without measure. It was immeasurable, total, 100%. And so when he's filled that way, you get this idea he's just filled with that power, that electricity, and he touches this guy, and maybe he just lacked his ass there. Didn't have it. But I'm not making fun of it, but there are people been saying that, Jesus didn't perform all these miracles because, look here, touches it up. That's not what this is. But did he have a momentary power outage with this guy? Is that what happened? And at the first, he spits on his hand, he places it on the blind man, and he said, what do you see? What do you see now? Well, I see me. And the right trees, and the walking around. I know that's not right. I know that ought not to take place. That's not the real deal. Alright? So Jesus says to him again. He said, now what do you see? Well, I see clearly now. I clearly see now. Well, was he not seeing things clearly because Jesus had a momentary lapse of power? You think that? Of ability? Here it is at Bethsaida, verse 22. And they brought the man out. Now, when you see the they there, I want you to understand, I believe that's the apostles. I think the apostles brought them out, this man out. They brought him out. They brought him to him. They had compassion on this blind man. Now, the Lord talked that to them. Here's a man that needs his sight restored. They had compassion on him. They brought him the most compassionate man that ever walked the earth. Jesus going to heal him. They brought this man to him. All right? Now, I believe that Jesus sees this as an opportunity to teach his disciples as you look at it. And the teaching that the Lord did, and just a side point, the Lord taught everybody that he came in contact with every day of his life. The Lord's the greatest teacher that ever walked the earth. And he taught a lot of people. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the primary task that Jesus had while he was on earth was to teach his own. To teach his own. It was to teach the apostles to help them understand what Jesus wanted taught and to listen to his teaching while he walked and talked on the earth. And his primary purpose was to teach them. And this man, I believe, provided Jesus an opportunity to teach them a valuable lesson. They bring this man who's blind. Who took him by the hand? Jesus took him by the hand. Where did he lead him? Well, he led him out of camp. So he's going out of camp. Now, if the purpose of this deal was to prove to the people in the town that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus shouldn't have let him out of town. He should have stayed right in the middle of town and said, listen, I want you to go get your neighbors and get the whole town here in the middle of the court, and I'm just going to heal this man. I'm going to do this big miracle. But that wasn't the purpose of the miracle. That's not what he did. He let him out of town. Now, I don't know the purpose of the spit, his hands rubbing his eyes. I don't know the purpose behind that. It doesn't say anything about that. What it says is that he did it. And so he did it. All right, that's part of it. But I'm quite confident that the Lord could have healed the man without doing anything, spit, hands, touch, otherwise. Jesus could have healed this man in any way that he wanted to, didn't need that air. And he asked the man, can you see? Well, I can't see clearly. It's not good. I see better than I did, but not exactly. Like I should. So he puts his hands on me again. How about now? It's kind of like when you go to the optometrist, they say what's clear, that thing comes up. Is the EO clearer than the OS? You know what I mean? And then they hit that switch and say, hey, that's a lot better. That's kind of what it was like. I got a friend that he goes there so much, he does a blindfold. He don't even have to see what the cloth like he's been at this point. But the question is, can you see now? Can you see now? And he says, I can see. Now, the healing of the blind man is for the sake of the disciples. After he does that, he tells the man, don't go back in the city. Don't go. I want you to go home. Don't go tell anybody. I want you to go home. And can you imagine that? The blind man, they can't see. He can see now. And he can't go back in the city. He can't go anywhere. He wants to tell everybody. I'm sure he does. He wants to tell everybody. Jesus tells him to go home. But there's a reason behind that. The time yet to come. All right. For him to forward from man to command the things that he ultimately wants to get done with the time that he has. And a lot of times in the New Testament, we see that all through the New Testament. I'm going to do this, but don't tell anyone. Don't you show yourself that what's been done. And that happened a lot. Why? Because Jesus was interested in teaching his disciples the true things that he wanted them to know, the impact that he wanted to have. Didn't he need more time before they took him? What's the point? Well, if you think about what happened in the boat, Jesus said, do you not understand? Don't you get it? Have I not been with you and performed all these miracles? That's proof. Not only have I performed miracles, but the very thing you're having this conversation about. Think about that. Bread? We're talking about bread. He's not talking about bread and raising somebody from the dead. There's not a contradiction. There's not a mind bender there. He's talking about bread, same thing. And can't you see that I can do this? Don't you understand? He said, don't you understand that? And I really think the frustration that apparently is taking place here with Jesus and his disciples, you ought to get it. You ought to see this, and you don't. And so, because of that, he performs this miracle. All right? And in essence, I think what he's saying is to them is this. Well, you're not like the multitude. You see a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. You all don't see like you ought to see. You're not focused in like you ought to see real clearly. And really, I think the Lord said you're without excuse. And I think that's what he's asking. Do you see clearly enough? And I think we see a desire here with Jesus, the Savior. He's saying to the disciples, listen, you need to be aware of the influence of the Pharisees and the Herodians. And he said, I'm telling you, that influence can have an effect on you. And are you concerned? And we're talking about, you're concerned about bread. You're going to have to pick it up. You guys are going to have to pick it up. It's about time that you focus in on what you need to focus in on and get it. That's what the Lord says. And I think that's the point of the healing of this blind man in Bethsaida. I think that's the point. Well, there's application for us. There's an application for us in that. Can you see anything that might work for us in what we just talked about? You know, the point that I'm going to make, I think, is a very valid point. What happened? What happens to us? When we focus our attention, on Jesus Christ, what happens when we focus in on what Jesus wants us to do? What happens to us then? What happens when we have that, single eye that Jesus is talking about all through the scriptures, and our mind's not distracted by anything? What happens to you and I when we have some clear vision? When we can see crystal clear, when we focus, our focus in life and our focus and concentration that we have in our life is about and to and for Jesus Christ, what happens to our focus? What happens? What do we start to see? What do we begin to see? Don't we begin to see a lot of things a lot clearer in our life when we start focusing like that? And don't all these distractions that come, now, all of us have, everybody sitting here, I realize that there are things that go on in our lives, every day in our lives, that we have to deal with. But isn't that part of what Jesus is talking about as we serve Him, that we need to put the kingdom of God where? First, our first focus is the kingdom of God. He's not talking about doing away with all these things in our lives. That's going to come up. But he is saying, don't let all those distractions be a distraction from you focusing and seeing me clearly. Don't let your purposes and obligations, that all of us are going to have. We're all going to have. Don't let that be a distraction to you. So where you can't really truly see the true purpose in your life. That's what it says. The intent of the disciples here was that they were with him. They'd been with him, and they should have seen it. They've seen all the miracles. They've seen him perform this miracle to help them understand. You see a little bit better than most people. So listen, you don't see it. You don't get it. You don't see it clearly enough yet. You ought to be getting it. You ought to be getting it. You ought to be seeing it crystal clear by now. You know that? 2017, time to reflect. All of us do it. You know, really for the Christian, I think every day is a time to reflect. I think every day that we have is a time of self-evaluation. And looking at our lives, I'll tell you something that challenges me. And my guess is it probably challenges you. You know, I've been a Christian for a long time now. I've been a Christian longer than I have not been a Christian. And some days, do I know him like I should? Do I? Am I no better off than the multitude and the common people that don't seem very clear? Are you better off today as far as your spiritual vision goes than you have been for a while? Are you doing and listening and heeding to what the Master's been teaching? Have you studied to the point where you have a crystal clear understanding of what it is? Are you getting it? You understand? Well, if you just see well enough, you know, I've got some idea. I've got some idea what it means to be a Christian. I've got some idea what it means to be this church thing. I've got some idea. That's a little fuzzy, a little cloud, no big deal. My point is, I need to ask you why. Why is your vision cloud? Why? Right now, why don't you see clearly? Really, that's the Lord's question. To his disciples. I think that's a valid point. I mean, Jesus, hey, to all of us, we're the closest people on this earth to our Lord and Savior. We're in. We're the ones. We're the ones that's with him. We're his kingdom. We're his people. We're his chosen ones. We're with him every day, all day. We remember him every Lord's day. We're the closest ones to him. You're the ones who are closer to him than anyone in the world. Those folks in this room right here. And yet, boy, we have a tough time seeing things like we ought to see. I don't get it, do you? And I know the Lord doesn't get it. Me still don't get it. My point in all that is for today. And that's, we've been with him for years. A lot of years. And we're still clouded. We're still clouded about what it is that he really wants us to do. Some of us may say, especially today, you know what? I need to be a better father. I know the Lord wants me to be a better father. I know the Lord wants me to be a better example. And for the sake of my children and everything involved, let me ask you, how long is that going to take you? What are you going to do? Do you get it? You know, I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better wife. When are you going to do that? When? When's that going to happen for you? I need to be a better elder. I need to be a better preacher. I know some of you just thought, when's he going to do that? I want to be a better employee. How long is it going to be to you? Take a look at that. And quit seeing dimly and start seeing clearly and get it. What do you need to do? How long? A lot of you say, you know what? I need to be a better Christian than I have today, tomorrow than I have in the past. I need to start doing what I need to do. I need to serve the Lord a lot better. Okay, when are you going to do that? What's that going to happen for you? Are you waiting for somebody to zap you? Because that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. The Lord's not going to put his hand on your eyes so that you're going to see clearly. That's not going to happen. What are you waiting for? And you look at it. What do you want? He wants us to look at him with clear eyes and clear vision. Look at who he is. Listen to what he says. Listen to what his apostles have written down. See what it is that he wants you to do. See it clearly. Recognize it. And then go do it. Accomplish it. Get that.
I think that's the point. Doesn't that make sense to all of them?
How long are we going to go on? Seeing dimly. How long? How long am I going to go on and know I need to do something? I need to do this, but yet I don't clearly see it. Really what it's saying, and that's just you're unwilling to do what the Lord's lined out for you to do. Really, that's his point. How long is it going to take? And really the second question is on how long it's going to take. Maybe we ought to think, how long do I have? How long do I have?
That's your lesson. I think that's Jesus' point.
Y'all been with me?
All of them. Y'all see it.
You ought to get it. The prophecies of the Old Testament, all fulfilled, all done. And as a matter of fact, the statement to the mark, you got ears you can't hear, you got eyes you can't see. Probably in your Bible that's capitalized because that was Old Testament prophecy.
You seen? You seen but not seen? Are you hearing it? But not hearing?
Are you here this morning? Are you hearing it? But not hearing it? Seeing it but not seeing it? How long is it going to be? What is going to take place in your life for you to get it? Just think about it. For you to see clearly? What's going to happen to you? What has to happen to you before you see clearly? Tell you what. It's not going to change until you change. You. Every change in my life, in my personal life, every change that I have made has been because I said, I'm going to change. And I'm going to make the change. And I talk to a lot of people about a lot of different things. And you know, they can influence me. And folks can talk to me about different things so they're blue in the face. But you know what it boils down to? It boils down to me wanting to change. And doing that. Recognizing that. The need for me to do that. Now, if God allows me to live another year, allows you to live another year, I'm up here this time next year, however that goes. I preach a sermon similar to this. Are you going to look back and say, another year not seeing things clear? Another year just kind of dimly walking through the whole thing, just Christianity thing? I know a little bit about what the Lord wants me to do. Someday I'll get it. Is that what's going to happen? Or will you see clearly? Will you be in focus what the Lord wants you to get and to understand? You know, it is time to revolution. Revolution and resolution. But listen, I've written them down. I've said them. I've stated them. Some resolutions that I've had, I've completed. You know, some of them, maybe just a little bit. Sometimes I'm partially successful. But the most important thing is to see what the Lord wants me to see. That's it. And the Lord wants me to get that. And He wants for me to see it clearly and be willing to do that and to get that. How long will you be looking at something with a dim view? How long are you going to let it fly before you clearly see what it is and clearly get it and clearly take action for what you need to do? What the Lord wants you to do. Because when you do that, look, then you're the Christian that the Lord wants you to be. It's past time for a lot of to get it. To be crystal clear on what this is all about. And to take action about what this is all about. And to make the necessary changes in our lives that will actually change our lives. That's what it's about. If you hear the same thing every week and every day, and you know a little bit about, well, no. Don't you understand? Don't you get it? Let's get song about that. I prayed this morning. As we sing this invitation song, you'll strongly consider yourself whether or not you've been living as God wants you to live. And if you're not, can I encourage you this morning? Can I encourage you this morning to make the change that's necessary? Just, I get it. And that desire to change, that willingness to change, you're looking for salvation. You're going to have to do it the Lord's way. You know, He expects everybody to do it the same way. God is the one that needs to forgive you. You're the one that needs to ask God for forgiveness. And the way that works is faith, repentance, confession, baptism in water for the remission of your sins. That's the way that works. We're all on the same page when it comes to that. We desire God. We desire His forgiveness. And maybe it may be simply that you need to go to God in prayer in a public way. We'd encourage you to do that and make the statement, I'm going to change. I've not been living like I should. I'm going to change. I need to change. I get it. I see things real clear now. And I'm going to start this new year right. I'm going to listen to the Lord. I'm going to do what He says. Please come. That's together we stand and sing.